ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Continuing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 4, Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. So today we'll read Sanskrit for text 15, but 14 doesn't have a report. So. Yeah, we'll read no purports to most of them, so we'll finish off the chapter. We'll be responding to text 15. I'll read text 14 first. Itan muharaja tavirito maya krishna nubhavo gajaraja mokshanam svargyam yasyam kali kamasapaham dushrapna nasam kuru varya shrimbatam. Translation is, my dear King Pariksit, I have now described the wonderful power of Krishna as displayed when the Lord delivered the king of the elephants. O best of the Kuru dynasty, those who hear this narration become fit to be promoted to the higher planetary systems. Simply because of hearing this narration, they gain a reputation as devotees. They are unaffected by the contamination of Kali Yuga, and they never see bad dreams. Text 15. Yata nu kirtayantyacha. Yata nu kirtayantyacha. Treyas kama tridataya. Treyas kama tridataya. Suchaya praturutaya. Suchaya praturutaya. Dushvapna jupasantaye. Dushvapna jupasantaye. Yata, without deviation, Anukirtan Ganti, they chant itat, this narration of the deliverance of Gajendra, Shreyakama, persons who desire their own auspiciousness, Drijataya, the twice born, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, Suchaya, especially the Brahmanas, who are always clean. Prata, in the morning. Utaya, after getting up from sleep. Dushvapnu Adi, beginning with sleeping badly at night. Upashantaye, to counteract all troublesome positions. Translation report by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, after getting up from bed in the morning, those who desire their own welfare, especially the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, and in particular the Brahmana Vaishnava, should chant this narration as it is, without deviation, to counteract the troubles of bad dreams. Purport. Every verse in the Vedic literature, especially in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, is a Vedic mantra. Here the words yatanu kirtayanti are used to recommend that this literature be presented as it is. Unscrupulous persons, however, deviate from the actual narration and interpret the text in their own way with grammatical jugglery. Such deviations are to be avoided. This is a Vedic injunction supported by Shukadev Goswami, one of the Mahajanas, or authorities. He says, Yatanu Kirtayanti, one should recite the mantra as it is, without deviation, for then one will be eligible to rise to the platform of all good fortune. Shukadev Goswami especially recommends that those who are brahmanas, suchaya, recite all these mantras after rising from bed in the morning. Because of sinful activities, at night we have bad dreams, which are very troublesome. Indeed, Maharaj Yudhisthira was obliged to see hell because of a slight deviation from devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, dushvapna, bad dreams, occur because of sinful activities. A devotee sometimes accepts a sinful person as his disciple. And to counteract the sinful reactions he accepts from the disciple, he has to see a bad dream. Nonetheless, the spiritual master is so kind that in spite of having bad dreams due to the sinful disciple, he accepts this troublesome business for the deliverance of the victims of Kali Yuga. After initiation, therefore, a disciple should be extremely careful not to commit again any sinful act that might cause difficulties for himself and the spiritual master. Before the deity, before the fire, before the spiritual master, and before the Vaishnava, the honest disciple promises to refrain from all sinful activity. Therefore, he must not again commit sinful acts and thus create a troublesome situation. So, we've been requested to finish the chapter off, so maybe a translation only? Okay. Text 16. O best of the Kuru dynasty, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, the Supersoul of everyone, being thus pleased, addressed Gajendra in the presence of everyone there. He spoke the following blessings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, freed from all sinful reactions are those who rise from bed at the end of night, early in the morning, and fully concentrate their minds with great attention upon my form. Your form, this lake, this mountain, the caves, the garden, the cane plants, the bamboo plants, the celestial trees, the residential quarters of me, Lord Brahma, and Lord Shiva, the three peaks of Trikuta Mountain made of gold, silver, and iron, my very pleasing abode, the ocean of milk, the white island, Swetadweep, which is always brilliant with spiritual rays, my mark of Srivats, the Kastoba gem, my Vajanti garland, my club, Komodaki, my Sudarshan disc in Panchajanya conchel, my bearer, Garuda, the king of birds, my bed, Seshanag, my expansion of energy, the goddess of fortune, Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, Lord Shiva, Prahlad, my incarnations like Matsya, Korma, and Varaha, my unlimited all auspicious activities, which yield piety to he who hears them, the sun, the moon, fire, the mantra Omkar, the absolute truth, the total material energy, the cows and brahmanas, devotional service, the wives of Soma and Kasyapa, who are all daughters of King Daksha, the rivers Ganges, Saraswati, Nanda, and Yamuna, Kalindi, the elephant Aravata, Dhruva Maharaj, the seven rishis, and the pious human beings. Text 25. My dear devotee, unto those who rise from bed at the end of night and offer me the prayers offered by you, I give an eternal residence in the spiritual world at the end of their lives. Text 26. Shukadev Goswami continued, after giving this instruction, the Lord, who is known as Rishikesh, bugled with his Panchajanya conchel, in this way pleasing all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma. Then he mounted the back of his carrier, Garuda. Thus ends the Bhakti purports of the 8th canto, 4th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. So, Om Ajnana Tamanandasya Janam Jana Salakaya Chaksuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shvasani Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So concluding this wonderful history of Gajendra and the crocodile who came from the heavenly planets, and Gajendra, we know, was King Indrajumna in the prior life. So the wonderful power of Krishna is described. What's it say here? Again, dealing with protection from the Lord. The Lord protects his devotees. This is a practical example with his history. So we know the Lord, Krishna, is all-powerful. This is the fortune we have to know in detail about Krishna. You ask people from other faiths, say the Christians, those who follow the Bible, they know God is great, isn't it? They say God is great. But how God is great? They have no details, isn't it? God is, he's the oldest person. He's got a beard, he's up in the clouds, or he's in heaven. Very vague knowledge about the personality of Godhead. So, savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktir adoksuja yahai tuki apratiyata yayatma supersidati. So, the supreme occupation, dharma, is that by which you can revive your love for the personality of Godhead. That's Prabhupada often quotes that verse. That's how you judge different processes. And so, can you love a person that you don't know? Is that possible? You have to have some knowledge of the person, isn't it? Even in material affairs, if you're interested in a man or a lady, you want to start a relationship, you have to know about them. You have to inquire. But how can you love somebody you have no knowledge about? Just that he is great. This is the wonderful process we've been given by Srila Prabhupada. We have the real connection. Sampradaya vahinaye mantraste nispala mataha. If you're not connected with one of the four sampradayas, then there's nispala mataha, there's no fruit. Just like if you don't have your electrical appliance plugged in to the plug with the electric current, it won't work. So this is Prabhupada's explaining here in this purport that how important it is not to change the shastra, isn't it? That's one thing that's being stressed here. You have to it's a great disservice to take the shastra, Krishna's words, and distort them with your own meaning. Prabhupada often criticized those who do this. Just if you want to create something, do it yourself. Write your own book. Don't touch Krishna's transcendental words and distort them. Sanatana Goswami says this is very bad. You shouldn't hear from persons that do this, actually. Because this is milk. This is milk's the purest, one of the purest fluids. And it says, if you take milk, but if a serpent touches the milk, it becomes poisonous. So it's very important to keep the proper understanding and hear from the realized soul. Just imagine Srila Prabhupada. Who could conceive what he was bringing, what he had in his heart, right? It says the real religious principles, they're hidden. Dharmasya tatvam. Nitam Guhayam. They're hidden in the heart of the self-realized soul. There's one verse. We often hear Prabhupada quote it about the Mahajanas. Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta. We have to follow the Mahajanas. And the translation to that is that dry arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajanas advocate. This is Srila Prabhupada. He got on the Jaladutta. Completely, the whole spiritual world manifests to him. Imagine his longing, his journey to give this to others. He's coming, practically, so much struggle to come to the West following his spiritual master's orders. And there in New York also, so many struggles. You could see when you hear Prabhupada's early talks, 1965, 66, there's such an urgency to give this to us. He said, please take this. Krishna's right there before him, fully manifest. He's completely in the ecstasy of love for Krishna. Just try to have somebody, please take. And then, of course, we know Mahaprabhu had his plans, Prithiviti Ati Nagar Ati Gram, that every town and village, my name will be heard. This is Mahaprabhu's prediction. And this person was Srila Prabhupada. So after some initial struggle, the Lord likes to glorify his devotees. If we hear the pastimes of all the great devotees. There's, you know, the Pandavas, how much they struggled. Mother Kunti, Queen Draupadi. All struggles, simply to glorify. The devotees don't suffer. They're immersed in love for Godhead. Even in Prahlad Maharaj, we know how many difficulties he went through. And he told Lord Nrisimhadeva, I'm completely in bliss, because whenever I chant your holy names, I merge into the great ocean of nectar. So devotees, it seems, they apparently struggle. But this is all for their glorification, and they're always remembering Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was there, and after practically a year, then Krishna brought everybody to him. He said, this is all Krishna's arrangement. You have been sent to me by my spiritual master, by Krishna. And now, there it is. It's hidden in the heart, the pure devotee. And now it has exploded all over the world. So we know Krishna's greatness. In detail, Prabhupada said, we know God's name, we know his address, we know what he looks like. This was all given to us by Srila Prabhupada. None of us would be here without Srila Prabhupada. If we just trace back how we came to Krishna consciousness, it all comes through Srila Prabhupada. So we're all deeply indebted. And how great is Krishna? We have some understanding. Before you come and hear from the pure devotee, we're all like frogs in the well, isn't it? We don't have any idea what's going on beyond our little sphere. We're all in our own little bubbles of Maya, our own little societies. But then the pure devotee comes and he breaks us apart, and now we know the whole universe, the whole spiritual world is open to us because this has been revealed. Just like it says, Yasyaika Nishvasita Kala Matavalambya Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagannandananta. How great is Krishna? Who could ever imagine? Krishna expands to Balaram, and then there's the Chaturvyuha, and then there's Karnadakshaya Vishnu. Breathing universes. Who could imagine such things before we came to Srila Prabhupada? And breathing universes, unlimited, uncountable universes. And we're in one of the smaller universes, maybe the smallest universes. Lord Brahma has four heads. But we know from the pastime of Lord Brahma and Dwarka, there's many Brahmas with so many more heads, so many unlimited Brahmas. In this universe, I Googled it yesterday, how big is this universe? It's they say, let me see what the figures are. They say it's 28 billion light years in diameter. This universe, 28 billion light years. In one light year, to go one light year, it takes 37,200 years. So multiply that by 28 billion, and that's how big the universe is. It's inconceivable. And it's all, it's the smallest one, and it's for us, it's just completely inconceivable. So this is all Mahavishnu's. One breath, isn't it? One breath of the Lord. How many breaths have we taken since we just came to class? So Krishna's breathing. So we're so tiny, isn't it? We're completely insignificant. There's a nice verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, even though we're so tiny, to Krishna, we're infinitesimal, and Krishna's infinite. So there's one verse here, it says, the Supreme Lord, who is greater than the greatest, becomes submissive, even to a very insignificant devotee, because of his devotional service. It is the beautiful and exalted nature of devotional service that the infinite Lord becomes submissive to the infinitesimal living entity because of it. In reciprocal devotional activities with the Lord, the devotee actually enjoys transcendental mellow of devotional service. So we know, we hear, we're 1/10,000th tip of a hair, isn't it? Our constitutional position. And this body has formed around it. Says when we're in the womb, when the soul gets injected there through the father's semina, our body, this same body, was the size of a chickpea when we first took shape. So now it's formed. It's formed around us, the spirit soul. Jivatma Paramatma. So so when Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi Sunichina Tarori Vasihishmana, that lower than the blade. We are lower than the blade of grass. We're very tiny. We're infinitesimal. So even when the great Namacharya Haridas Thakur was getting ready to depart, they were all glorifying him. And Haridas revealed his mind. He says, what is the value if an ant dies? Right? If an insignificant ant dies, what is the value? So he was thinking like that. I'm no more significant. And it's a fact. We're very tiny. And but because of Krishna's mercy, Suryadas Arbhabhutanam, he worships his devotee. This is the wonderful nature of Krishna. He's the greatest. He's inconceivably great. But he becomes submissive just to an insignificant living entity. So this is a loving exchange, and this is what we're aspiring to enter into. Krishna's coming to call us back. Please come back. So we rebelled. We turned our backs on Krishna, and Prabhupada said, don't do it again. Because what's the punishment for that? For turning our backs, millions of years in samsara. That's the punishment. Prabhupada said, don't do it again. If we can even conceive of millions of years in the wheel of samsara, where we've come to this point, you know. So we can't even conceive of a few births. And we see, it's very painful. Janma, mritu, jara, vyadi. Krishna says, keep these in the front. Prabhupada said, these are the real problems, birth, death, old age. No other problems. It's not your money. It's not your family anxiety. It's birth, death, old age, and disease. And Prabhupada says, I was hearing from, Prabhupada was speaking on Prahlad Maharaj pastimes. He said, Prahlad Maharaj was telling Lord Nrisimhadeva, because when he appeared, so fierce, we can't imagine the fear, how angry Lord Nrisimhadeva was, because, again, because his devotee had been tortured, basically, and tried to be killed in so many ways. He was so angry, no one could even approach him. They pushed Prahlad Maharaj finally. Prabhupada said it's like pushing a child in the cage of a lion, they pushed Prahlad Maharaj up there. And Prahlad Maharaj wasn't afraid. But he did say, I am afraid. I'm very, very afraid of this material existence. So Prahlad Maharaj said several times in that exchange, I'm very, very afraid of material existence. And Prabhupada said, this is our misfortune. We're not very afraid of material existence. We should be. If Prahlad Maharaj is afraid, and the acharyas are afraid, they don't want to enter this wheel of samsara. They're in complete love for God. No one. So we're so foolish that we turned our backs. But now we've come to this point. Prabhupada says, please don't wait for another life. He says, my spiritual master has instructed me, and I'm instructing you. Don't wait for another life. It's very risky. He says, yes, you're guaranteed you'll take birth in a family of devotees, or maybe go to the heavenly planets and become very opulent. But Maya is there. Maya will... There's every chance you become distracted again, isn't it? Like the story of Maharaj Bharat, Lord Rishabhadev's, Krishna's direct son. He went, Bharatvarsha, named after him. Very exalted personality, but he went and he became distracted, became attached to a deer. Prabhupada said he purposely neglected the instructions of the spiritual master, and he became misled, then he became a deer. He had to make a whole life as a deer. And those, and time is relative. We see our body, we've been here for, you know, since we were young, and animals, even the bug, Prabhupada said it comes in the night by the light and it dies. Its whole life is gone. One night, its whole life comes and goes. But to that bug, time is relative. It's a very long time. Just like the denizens in the higher planets, they see our lives just like that. It's like the life, so quickly, it comes and goes. But to us, similarly, Bharat Maharaj had the deer body. It's a long time to be in that body suffering. But he had the benediction that he remembered his past life, and he was. So then, when his next birth came, Judd Bharat, he didn't let anything distract him. And ideally, this is how we should be. We don't want to flirt with Maya. We don't want to flirt with this material energy anymore. We have to take this wheel of samsara very, very seriously and constantly engage, immerse ourselves in hearing and chanting this divine shastra, Prabhupada's words. Let's see. Prabhupada would often give the devotees benedictions. These benedictions carry to us. It carries to everybody, every member of his International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada's given us benedictions. I read a couple here from the letters books. Let's see. He writes to one devotee, devotee had written him. He's having problems, I guess, following Krishna consciousness. He wrote, Prabhupada, I have stumbling blocks. So many blocks are in my way. So Prabhupada replied, you mentioned your pathway has become filled with stumbling blocks. But there are no stumbling blocks. I can kick out all those stumbling blocks immediately, provided you accept my guidance. With one stroke of my kick, I can kick out all stumbling blocks. So, Prabhupada said, we create our own stumbling blocks. Prabhupada's mercy is there. And another another devotee, he wrote, this is to Hamsaduta's wife, Himavati. He wrote, I guess she was worried about falling away from Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, there's no question of your fall down. Chant 16 rounds regularly, and no power in all three worlds will make you fall down. Krishna will save you always. So, again, these are instructions for all of us. If we take the process seriously, if we take shelter of Krishna, we're protected, and we have Prabhupada's benediction. I have another little excerpt here I'd like to play. It's just a few minutes. Prabhupada's one of the classes in New Orleans. He's giving a benediction to the devotees. So let's see. Hopefully it'll play on us.
The same thing that you are seeing, watering the tulsi plant, chanting 16 rounds at least, and observing the rules and regulations, regulative principle, then your life is successful. Don't neglect, very seriously continue. And in this one life, you are going back to home, back to God. It is sure. I am not flattering you, Krishna said. Manvana bhavad bhakta manjari manavad. Mami vaishasi asamsaya. Asamsaya, without any doubt. Simply following these rules and regulations. Mami vaishasi, you come back to me. So take these words of Krishna.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda. So if you couldn't hear that, Prabhupāda saying, so, the same thing, like we're doing every day. Worship the deities, water, tulsi, chanting 16 rounds at least, observe the rules and regulations, and in this one life, we're going back home, back to Godhead. So this, our business is to no matter what, stick to Prabhupada's our spiritual master's lotus feet, and these benedictions will fulfill themselves. Because we know Krishna, he's looking for a chance to serve his pure devotees. He's looking for the chance. He tells Arjuna to declare it to the world that my devotee will never be vanquished. He tells Arjuna because Krishna will never break the devotee's promise. Krishna can break his own promise, but Krishna won't break the devotee's promise. So if Prabhupada gives us benediction, we know we should have faith that it will come to pass. So there's another nice pastime I want to read about the words, how potent the words are, because Prabhupada's describing in this verse, one should recite the Vedic mantra as it is, then one will be eligible to rise to the platform of good fortune. So, this is a pastime with Shruta Kirti Prabhu, because Shruta was busy so much serving Srila Prabhupada, he wasn't, Prabhupada was trying to encourage him to read the books more. So, let's see. Yeah, so it happens on three different occasions. I went in and Prabhupada was reading Krishna book. So Prabhupada read his own books. We know Prabhupada, these were dictations from Krishna. Prabhupada took great pleasure in reading the books. They were actually dictated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Shruta went in, and Prabhupada's reading Krishna books. And Prabhupada said, if you just read this one book, you can be Krishna conscious. You don't have to read hundreds of books, just this one book. He had his glasses on, and I was sitting in the front of him, and he just looked at me, and he said, you don't even have to read the whole book, just one chapter. If you just read one chapter of this book, you can be Krishna conscious. And he's nodding his head, yes, Srila Prabhupada. But he kept staring at him. And then he said, you don't even have to read the whole chapter. You just read one page. And he ran his finger down the page. And he's looking, still looking at him. He said, you don't even have to read the whole page. You just read one line. And he ran his finger across the book. Just read the one line. And he's still looking at him. He's trying to make a point. Still, you don't do. And he said, he pointed to the word in the book. He said, just one word of this book, if you read, you can become Krishna conscious. Because Krishna is in every word. Then he put his head back down into the book. And I offered obeisance and I left. So within the course of a year, he told this to him three times, just to try and encourage him to read. And he tried to encourage him to chant his rounds also, because sometimes, you know, so much serving Prabhupada, you're always constantly busy. So Prabhupada, one time he finished his round, he pulled his 16th bead down, he said, there, I've finished my rounds. Now I can do anything I like. Trying to encourage him. So chant your rounds. So we have to, this is a struggle. It says the process is very joyful, but there's one stipulation. We have to give up our engagement in sense gratification. We have to give up our attachments. So, and this is how Maya keeps us here. So we have to give these up. But to follow regular principles strictly, and we have to hear the tonic. This is a tonic. The words from Srila Prabhupada is a tonic. So one last thing I'd like to read, and then we can stop. This is this will encourage us to that this vibration, when we hear Srila Prabhupada's words and we hear his tapes, it's actually there's some hidden, a lot of hidden power and potency in there. When we hear it, we don't understand what's in there. But this is in the story of Maharaj Prithu. He's praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, I therefore do not wish to have the benediction emerging into your existence, a benediction in which there is no existence of the nectarine beverage of your lotus feet. I want the benediction of at least 1 million heirs, 1 million ears, for thus I may be able to hear about the glories of your lotus feet from the mouths of your pure devotees. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorifying of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouths of your pure devotee. So, and then Prabhupada says in the purport, the transcendental vibration from the mouth of pure devotee is so powerful it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he goes on to say that Although when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up to that moment he had forgotten everything. So, this is Prabhupada's giving us another secret. To hear from the Paramahamsa, it's so essential. It has this, we've probably heard this before, but the saffron particles from Krishna's feet is within the pure devotee's transcendental vibration. So, as Mahaprabhu says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, we're sleeping, so this is how we wake up. So, any comments or questions? Mahaprabhu says, I brought the medicine to wipe out this disease of illusion. Because right now we're sleeping on the lap of Maya. So, what is it? We know what it is. It's chanting the Maha Mantra and immersing ourselves, like Maharaj Kritu's desire, to hear from the self-realized devotees. So, I get another example of how Krishna wants to fulfill. He's always looking to serve his pure devotees because they want nothing for themselves. They don't want any. They just want to serve Krishna. They're completely immersed in the bliss of devotional service. So, but Krishna is always looking for an opportunity to serve the devotees. So, Prabhupada tells one story where Rupa Goswami was desiring to cook for his brother, have a nice lunch for his brother, Sanatana. And Rupa Goswami is here in Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami had no proper facility. He didn't have money to buy the boga or the ghee, whatever. So shortly after he was thinking this, I'd like to serve my brother somehow, a beautiful girl came from the village. And she said, "Hey, Baba, yeah, here we're having a festival. She brought all the boga he desired." And Rupa Goswami was very ecstatic. Now I get to cook a nice lunch for my brother. So he invited Sanatan for lunch, and they were eating. And at some point, Sanatan inquired, "Well, how'd you get all this wonderful boga? How'd you make all these wonderful preparations?" And Rupa Goswami told him the story. In the morning, I was desiring some nice ingredients, and then this girl came, and then Sanatan realized that it had been Srimati Radharani had come. And he said, "You rascal, you took service from Srimati Radharani?" Say, "We're trying to serve, and now you gave her a chance to serve you." So it's always a competition. So that was it. Any comments or questions? Prabhu?
I like the point you were talking about how Prabhupada was encouraging Sri Kirti to read, because I remember when I was in Mumbai in 71, when I go to bed at night, Prabhupada would be translating books, and when I wake up in the morning, he's translating again. I get up at 3:30 to wake up the deities, and he spent his major business was translation of books, and he wanted our major business to be the distribution of books, but obviously the main point of books is to read them, but when they're translated and distributed is that, and they found when they did that survey in my part of this congregation somewhere like 3 years ago, that the amount of books that people have written is very small, but there's so much nectar in there that if you should keep a Kindle with you or a book or something with you that yourself a goal that may be difficult to achieve, so that you can do lots of reading. Don't just read the one page or
And Prabhupada mentions in this purport the story of how merciful the spiritual master is. He has to accept the sinful reactions. And sometimes he has to see bad dreams, what to speak. Sometimes he has to suffer physical, ailments. So he's making the point, the honest devotee promises before the deities, before the fire, before the Vaishnavas, these vows have to be taken seriously. He said, you don't take a guru as a fashion. So when we take our initiation vows, they're very serious vows. Otherwise we'll cause problems to ourselves and our spiritual master. And he says, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's faultless, but he gives a story here. He was obliged to see hell because of a slight deviation from devotional service to the Lord. Anyone know what that deviation was? Ashwatthama, the elephant, is dead, right? He was. Is that what he did, Maharaj? He referred to the elephant or something?
Krishna asked Yudhisthira Maharaj to discourage Dronacharya by telling him that his son Ashwatthama was dead. Maharaj Yudhisthira refused to do it. And the other words said that because of disobeying Krishna's direction, therefore his chariot, which was floating above the ground, suddenly dropped under the earth, and that he was obliged to see the hell of
fire. Okay. That was the yes, bro.
Krishna wanted him to say this. He said loudly, "Ashwatthama, very, very softly, the elephant."
Yeah. But the chariot dropped. That was so. That's he became covered over temporarily because real dharma is surrender to Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants, isn't it? The whole Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna saying, well, I'm going to kill my grandfather, my teacher, Dronacharya, people are going to be widowed. Krishna says, but then, again, Arjuna realized, following Krishna is the real dharma. And that story, what was it, with the gopis wanting to put the dust on, Krishna wanted the dust, right? Can you give it to Maharaj?
Lord Krishna had a headache, and he asked the servant, specifically Narada Muni, to go and ask his devotees for some dust to cure his headache. So he went to all his great devotees and all are refused. How can I give Krishna the dust from my feet? I'll go to hell. So Narada Muni told Krishna that no one wants to give the dust because they're afraid they'll go to hell. So then Krishna said, go to the gopis and ask for dust. And the gopis heard that Krishna had a headache and he needed their dust from their feet. Sure. He said, oh, here, take all the dust. Take as much as you can. And then Narada Muni said, well, you'll go to hell. I think that's all right. We can all go to hell, but let Krishna, his headache be cured. Let Krishna be happy. We don't care if we go to hell.
Jai. Provision?
Thank you for the class.
Thank you. I think you should enlighten me. Can you? He want, Prabhu wanted the clarification on without deviation. They chant without deviation. So I think you're more qualified. You're the famous kirtan man. Could you enlighten us a little bit, Prabhu? Humbly request.
Well, I was really looking for your realization. My realization on this particular matter is that specifically in our particular sampradaya, that the more we can adhere to the formula given to us by Prabhupada himself in this particular chanting process and chanting methodology and style,
that style is that someone needs to write those down, Prabhupada's exact standards. I don't know if it's been talked about before, but a lot of devotees aren't aware of what the deviations are, I think.
The deviations are committing the 10 offenses in chanting the holy name, so we have to be very diligent and concentrate very carefully to eradicate all of the offenses of chanting the holy name. But these were given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So
right.
We strive for that, we chant, we make offenses while we're chanting, but even during this period of time, the cleansing process is taking place, and one day we'll be able to glorify the Lord without any offenses.
And without. We have to, my take on it is, like Gopal said, we have to constantly strive to become offenseless. They were talking to Srila Prabhupada one morning walk. He said, the goal is to chant offenses, without offenses. They were talking, devotees live outside, inside. He said, if he's becoming offenseless in his chanting, but then again, there's different etiquette. How to sing? Are we singing for the pleasure of Krishna? Are we singing to glorify ourselves? Isn't it? So we have to have that in mind. Are we trying to impress people with our chanting? Or are we trying to appeal, like the child crying for mother? We have to keep this in our mind. It's not a performance. It's a performance for Krishna, not for our glorification. So if we see someone, you know, sometimes you can see there, you know, people get a little carried away, but we have to constantly examine ourselves. Why are we chanting? Like I mentioned before, Prabhupada said, when I chanted, I didn't chant for the audience. I didn't care if anybody was there. I was just chanting for Krishna's pleasure. And he didn't care if anyone would come. I think there was one engagement devotees arranged for him in the early days, and they were disappointed because not many people came. The auditorium was pretty much empty. And then he said, "You didn't." Afterwards, he said, "You didn't see Narada Muni was there, and you know, and so many. You were there, and Krishna was there. So I chanting for Krishna." So Maharaj, can you comment on that? Didn't ask a question. Okay. Prabhu, you have any input on that? No, about did Nath Prabhu's question, chanting without deviation, what's the...
Yeah. A simple thing with the Mahamantra is you see it spelled up here. Is if they chant it the way it's actually spelled, instead of having extra letters to it, it's easier for people to follow because people get confused when they see how it's spelled. you know, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And some people think they add letters that are not actually there. Hmm. And that's obviously not the mantra, so it's a little confusing when they're singing it differently than yeah. spelling.
You mean like when they say Ramo with the O, or?
Kidama, whose formula for always chanting Hare Krishna is Srinada Pi Sneha Prayvada Sishana Amaya Dana Kirtanyasadari. Although the star on the street or top of the tree, the void of all sense of false prestige, that is off our respect of others and that desire to respect for oneself, the one can chant the holy name constantly.
Jai. How about when sometimes the kirtan, the one word they go, they go real long with it. Is that proper? Or, you know, they might say Hare Krishna, and it goes for.
So we follow the acharya.
Jai Prabhu, thank you.
We don't go back to Godhead by the melody, we go back to
Jai, I think it's better end here. Thank you very much. All glories to the Prabhupada.